1 Kings 21, verses 25 and 26. Here we have a summary of Ahab's career, his life. In my version of the Bible, these two verses are put in brackets. It is a parenthesis. It doesn't follow on directly from the previous verse, and it doesn't lead into the passage which comes directly afterwards. It's just a summary of Ahab's life. And what a life, what a career it was. There was never a man like Ahab, who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Urged on by Jezebel his wife, he behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols, like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. 1 Kings 21, verses 25 and 26. Here is the divine historian. Well, there are many historians writing books. I've tried myself. But we only know the partial story. We only know the external. We can't really know it all. But there is one who knows it all. He sees every man, every woman, through and through. And the divine historian, God himself, speaking here, through the writer. There was never a man like Ahab. And the life of Ahab, the character of Ahab, is set out here. My friend listening to me, I'm trying to listen to myself too. One day, this is the sort of thing that will happen to you and to me. God sees us through and through. Wherever we go, Psalm 139, however we try to hide from God, whatever masks we put up, whatever fronts we present, God pierces through. One glance of thine, O sovereign Lord, pierces all nature through. John Newton wrote a hymn on that theme. God sees us through and through. And one day, in the judgment, all will be made clear. We shall stand naked before him with whom we have to do. Of course, we're all masters at putting up fronts and hiding from ourselves and from one another. But we can never run away from God. The best way is to pray, search me, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me, pierce my heart through, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now Ahab, of course, is exceptional. Indeed, there never was a man like Ahab. Jezebel comes into the picture too. But the principle remains, this is the natural man. This is me by nature. This is you, my friend, by nature. What do we have here? Well, we're told that Ahab sold himself to do evil. Can you see that he was responsible? He was deliberate. He sold himself. He made positive decisions to do things, to say things, to think things, to dwell upon things. His actions, his way of life, was his responsibility. I've used that cartoon illustration two or three times already, but that schoolmaster, towering over the boy. Some would blame this and some would blame that, but I blame you. The buck stops with me, my friend, and the buck stops with you. Ahab, you sold yourself. Well, no, it was my circumstances, it was my upbringing, it was my psychological this and psychological that. All that psycho babble, put it away. We're guilty. I am guilty. Ahab was guilty. And he sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. He was against God. The natural man hates God. Let's be clear about it. We're not talking about indifference to God or apathy to God. The Bible tells us, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 2, and so on. The natural man hates the things of God. He thinks they're crazy. He thinks they're foolish. He laughs at them. He dismisses them. He will not submit to God. Ahab wouldn't. It didn't matter whether it was the covenant, the law, the commandments, the prophets. Elijah could say what he wanted, but there was never a man like Ahab who deliberately, willfully rejected God and his law and his commandments and his prophets. He would have none of it, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He would go his own way and serve his own ends. He was aided in this. Abetted is better. He was urged on by Jezebel, his wife. And if Ahab was one of the wickedest of all men, there was never a man like him, so we're told here. Then Jezebel comes up to him. In fact, she exceeds him. Can you see how they mutually encouraged each other? Jezebel particularly encouraged Ahab. And we've seen it in the histories we've read, haven't we? How Jezebel, over Naboth's vineyard, for example. Can you see how we can mutually encourage each other, abet each other in sin and corruption and evil against the Lord? He behaved in the vilest manner. His thinking was wrong, but his actions were wrong. His thoughts were wrong. His heart was wrong, and it showed it in his life. In idolatry, like the Amorites, he went the way of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the very people that the Lord had driven out before Israel. He copied the ways of the pagans. He wanted to be a pagan. He was a pagan. Nominally, he was a Jew. But spiritually, he was an Amorite. Oh, how many there are who would like to be thought Christian, inverted commas. Christendom Christians. My friends, God looks upon the heart. He weighs the actions. Search me, O God. Try my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a dreadful character description here. Now, as you know, I speak in the United Kingdom. From time to time, the government sets up inquiries, the Nolan Inquiry, the Scott Inquiry, and I don't know what else, scores and scores of them, and they produce their report about the Iraq War or whatever it might be. But, my friend, those reports, however detailed they may be, are only partial. They don't see it all. They don't know it all. But, as I say, God sees it all. He sees us now. Thou, God, seest me. Don't you realize, friend, you stand even now with nothing between you and God? Can't you see what God is saying here? Romans 2:4, the kindness, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Surely that's one of the great purposes of this passage in Scripture. It's a warning to us, yes, but it's here surely to encourage us, to invite us in our day, not to turn our back upon God, not to reject the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not to dismiss him. How many just treat Jesus as a person and a name, as to be used as a swear word, and that's all. And yet here he is, the great Redeemer, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. Don't turn your back upon him. Don't reject him, for God knows how you are thinking. And don't be content with just sitting in church or chapel and being a so-called, inverted commas, Christian. Be a real Christian. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Art thou made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Watch out if you're not, for death, said Gadsby, is on the road. Can we turn this into a positive, my brother and sister? In our marriages, in our churches, in our conversations, in our fellowship one with another, can we not urge one another on to holiness and good works and godliness? I hope my books and my preaching will be a means of encouragement and stirring up to walk in the ways of the Lord for others and supremely for myself. May we learn from Ahab and Jezebel and turn away from them, as it were, and turn on to the positive. May it be said of us, there was never a man or a woman like this, who sold themselves to do what God wanted, who gave themselves up deliberately to the Lord, who behaved in the most godly of manners, walking in the ways of Christ by the Spirit, not going after idols, but serving the Lord, the true God, through Jesus Christ. And may we live, not as the pagans, but as the true children of God, and for the glory of God. May God bless this to us. It's a terrible, dreadful character that Ahab and Jezebel have revealed to the world. But may we learn and turn it to the positive, turn away from the evil, and cultivate the good. So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. And may that be so today. And if anybody is listening to me who has never called upon the name of the Lord, don't delay, don't put it off. Now is the hour, now is the moment. Trust the Lord now, even as these words are coming into your ears. May your words be going up to the Lord. Lord, save me and deliver me from my sins through Jesus Christ and his precious blood and his righteousness. May God bless this discourse for his glory and for all our good. Amen.